is KFXR Dallas with all the top news and business stories of the day. It's all on 1190 AM.
NBC News Radio, I'm Peter Alexander at the White House. Good news, finally, from a Southern California wildfire. NBC's Ayman Mohideen is in Malibu.
For the first time in the past several days, firefighters here feel optimistic that they have momentum on their side. The indication is that they've opened up major highways here in Ventura County and have lifted all of the evacuation orders, allowing residents to go back to their homes.
Police in San Mateo, California, are trying to figure out what happened inside a limousine which burst into flames on the San Mateo Bridge. Nine women were in that limo this morning. Five are dead, the other four injured. There's still no end in sight to the increasing death toll from the garment factory building collapse in Bangladesh. The number now stands at 580 dead. More are expected to be found. Industry experts say it is likely the worst garment factory accident ever. President Obama back on the road today. He's giving the commencement address at Ohio State University. This is NBC News Radio. The body of Boston Marathon bombing suspect Tamerlan Tsarnaev is in limbo at a Worcester, Massachusetts funeral home. NBC's Monica Stein has the story.
The family of Tamerlan Tsarnaev reportedly wants him to have a traditional Muslim burial, which means he needs to be buried as soon as possible. But the owner of the funeral home where the body is being kept says he has been unable to find a Boston-area cemetery that will accept the dubious honor.
Everybody who's dead has the right to be buried. Doesn't matter. And the thing is, you go back and think of the, you know, when Lee Harvey Oswald died. Somebody buried him, right?
He says he intends to find a burial plot for Tsarnaev by the end of Monday. A representative for the family told the Boston Globe they would bring Tamerlan's body back to Russia if no one in the U.S. will bury him, but they would prefer not to. Monica Stein, NBC News Radio, Washington.
And movie makers closed the Theodore Roosevelt Bridge in Washington, D.C. this morning as they began filming on the next Captain America movie. I'm Peter Alexander, NBC News Radio.
Discover Card.
So that's it. I lost my job. My days of coaching football are over.
Well, that's tough, but you will bounce back. You've got our new IT card, so we'll lower your interest rate, lower your monthly payment, or find another way to help.
You'd do that for me?
Of course. You are a champion. Now, who are you?
A champion.
No, come on. Who are you?
A champion!
Who are you?
I'm a champion!
No, seriously, I need your name.
Oh, it's Steve.
At Discover, we treat you like you treat you. Job loss support. Get the new IT card at discover.com.
At AdvanceAutoParts.com, you can find the part you need and get it delivered straight to your home from the comfort of home. Plus, when you order $75 or more from AdvanceAutoParts.com, your shipping is free! Imagine ordering from the comfort of your pajamas or smoking jacket or go commando, whatever. Spend $75 and the shipping's free. And so are you, man. AdvanceAutoParts.com. Service is our best part.
Advance Auto Parts.
See site for details.
Anheuser-Busch InBev says new ads starring its brewmasters are not intended to counter claims that it waters down its beer, but it might just be trying to fight falling sales.
I'm the guy responsible for the quality of your beer.
The ads invite people to visit trackyourbud.com. The web app gives users more information about how that bottle or can in your hand was produced.
What makes a great brewmaster is a person who truly has a passion for what they do.
The ads come a few weeks after class action lawsuits charged that AB InBev overstated the alcohol content of Bud and other brands. An AB InBev spokesman tells Advertising Age that the Track Your Bud app was released long before the lawsuits came to light. A bigger worry may be sales of the beer. The first quarter was tough on all of the big brands, but AB InBev got the worst of it, with sales to bars, restaurants, and retailers falling more than 4%. I'm Tracy Jahnke from the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
In the small town of Elmira, New York, a boy was born into an all-American family. The odds of him opening his own clothing store at the age of 18? 1 in 138,000. Excited to be a part of pop culture, he packed for the big city. The odds of finding someone to invest in his vision? 1 in 4.5 million. The odds of him achieving his dream in the fashion industry? 1 in 23 million. The odds of having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 88. I am Tommy Hilfiger, and my family is affected by autism. I encourage you to learn more at autismspeaks.org/signs. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Jay Farner here with Quicken Loans. Here are two simple words that should make you reconsider waiting to buy a home. Buying power. Let's say you can afford a monthly mortgage payment, including principal and interest, of around $1,350. With today's rate on a 30-year fixed mortgage of 3.625%, APR 3.77%, that payment could support a $295,000 mortgage. But if you wait and rates tick up to around 6%, that same $1,350 mortgage payment, including principal and interest, may only be able to support a $225,000 mortgage. That's $70,000 worth of home that you're missing out on by waiting. That's buying power. And for 3 years in a row now, J.D. Power & Associates has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination. Give Quicken Loans a call today at 800-QUICKEN or go to quickenloans.com and maximize your buying power.
For J.D. Power & Associates award information, visit jdpower.com. Payment example excludes taxes and insurance costs. For cost information, equal housing lender, license in all 50 states, NMLS number 3030.
1190 AM, NBC News, and the best in specialty programming.
The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station or Clear Channel Communications.
You asked for golf, you got golf. It's time for the Golfer's Home with Stephen Greben. For the next 2 hours, you'll get the best in local, national, and international golf. Interviews from all the tours, the latest inside news, plus a weekly local course review, help on improving your golf game, and our weekly trivia contest, and so much more. So step up to the tee and get ready to keep it in the short grass. It's the Golfer's Home. Here's your host, Stephen Greben.
It's 8:08. It's Sunday morning, and they're off and running. That's right. It is not Kentucky Derby. It is the PGA Tour as they get an early Sunday morning start in Charlotte. Nick Watney and Phil Mickelson playing together are tied at -8 as they play in the Wells Fargo Championship at one of my favorite golf courses, Quail Hollow in Charlotte, North Carolina. Rory McIlroy is -1 through 4 and only 2 back at -6. And if he can putt at all today, he could win this golf tournament after losing in a playoff last year to Ricky Fowler. I'm joined this week for at least half of the show by someone who's sat in a lot. His name is Bradley Howe. Morning, Bradley.
Good morning.
Wow, are you understated? What's up with you?
Nada, just waiting for you to finish your rundown.
Anyway, also tied at 6 under is Lee Westwood, who's even par through 3.
He just made
John Sinden. He made a bogey also. Because I've got an up-to-dater here. Let me double-check that.
Yeah, he did it. Just updated.
Yep, birdie bogey. He is tied at 6 under along with Robert Carlson, who's currently number 139, and George McNeil at 5 under is Scott Gardner, Jason Kokrak, and Bo Van Pelt along with Brian Harman and Kevin Streelman, David Lynn, and Derek Ernst. They are 5 under par, and they are 3 back behind Phil Mickelson and Nick Watney. It's interesting to watch the scoreboard because Phil just putted out, so now he jumped above Nick Watney, even though they're still both 8 under, and Nick Watney was in first place. But because he has put his ball in the hole on number 2, he goes to first place. I don't know what I'm saying. So, Bradley Houck, you have a new job. I saw you out at the LPGA event. Did you enjoy the event? Did you get a chance to watch it all, or were you just working?
I got to watch quite a bit, and then April and I walked out on the last couple of holes, or we went and watched the last 3 groups play 18 and then watched all of the debauchery and completely mess up the rule there with the second to last group and slowed the final group down. So we watched the last 3 groups play and got to watch the rules officials completely butcher the ruling.
Now, when you say butcher the ruling, explain to the listeners what happened.
Well, I forget even the player that was involved. It's not even the, that's not even the issue. It's one of the better players, but I forget who was involved.
She was in the second to last group.
She was in the second to last group. She hit it right of the water, bounced into the water. There was some question as to whether or not where it entered the hazard. Her and her playing partners agreed where, or her and her playing partner agreed where it should have been, and she plays the entire hole, putts out, and is ready to go sign her scorecard when the rules official drives up right between us. We were actually standing there talking to a few of the club court people. We were just, you know, chatting about how the event had gone. And, you know, I was telling them how good having been at Houston and San Antonio, and this is kind of part of my job now, and seeing how good some of the events were and how great they did. Because they only had, if people don't know, they really only had about 2 months to really get this event going. And here comes this golf cart cruising between us, and it's the rules official. He grabs her and says, hey, we need you to go back and replay the hole from your second shot. I can't ever remember someone putting out. I thought once you putted out, you were done. But I guess I'm wrong. She didn't play a second ball. She didn't ask to play a provisional. She didn't ask to play a second ball and get a ruling later. She didn't do anything. She consulted her playing partner. She took the drop. She played the hole. By my best estimation, it should have just been a two-shot penalty, just like the Tiger deal. She took a wrong drop. She should have signed her scorecard. But instead, they had her replay the entire hole, and I just – and, it, you know, it slowed NB Park down. It slowed that whole thing. It was very anticlimactic for the crowd around the green because they were all pumped up. The leaders are standing in the fairway, and here they go. They're going to make her replay the hole by herself, and it just – I've never seen a situation where someone was allowed to replay a hole.
Yeah, I had neither, and it was interesting. I mean, I had not seen that before either. I just thought it would be a two-stroke penalty also. But again, I think that's the difference – right or wrong, and hopefully as the LPGA gets to grow, they will have more rules officials on the golf course so that when something happens, they can automatically call a rules official rather than just trying to keep up pace of play and trying to figure it out between the players. There was another case where I was watching a player and she called for a rules official, and it probably took close to 10 minutes for a rules official to pop over to where they were. I just don't think there's as, and I could be wrong, but it didn't seem like there were as many rules officials out at this event as there are at a normal PGA Tour event. It's not like a major on either side where you have rules officials on every hole. But and I think that they were just trying to get out of the way is all they were trying to do.
Yeah, they had both had bad days. There was no – exactly. I mean, they had gone in, you know, one shot back and two shots back and had bad days. And I agree. You know, I actually had a very – and this may be something we can talk about in the next segment or later in the show. You know, I've been one of the biggest beat the pulpit that you shouldn't be allowed to call in. But I was at a big event this week with at Bentree with David Price, and I actually got to talk to David Price, who's the rules guru, about people calling in and also about the Tiger situation. I didn't ask him about this particular situation, but my whole thing with the deal on Sunday was – he was the guy that drove up was the head rules official for the LPGA Tour. I'd say where we were located for the week, we were right by the women's locker room.
Right.
And we had seen him disqualify two other players, or we had seen him give a penalty to a player, and a player was DQ'd on Friday morning, and we didn't ever figure out why. So he was the guy. So I don't understand how when you're down to the last two groups, or the last three groups, and in those three groups, you have two or three of the top two or three players in the world, including the number one player in the world, who was on the tee box at the time. So she might have been on 17 green. And his reasoning, I asked him, I said, why was she allowed to replay the hole and not just given a penalty? He goes, well, it was our fault. We didn't get to her in time to advise her where to drop the ball. Well, it's not the rules official's job to tell you where to drop the ball. It's your – I mean, it is, but it's not. You need to drop the ball where you think you need to drop the ball, just like Tiger. You know, when I was talking to David, he said the thing about Tiger's ruling – the girl never asked for a rules official.
Right, that's what surprised me, is she never did ask, and I think it was just to try and keep up pace of play.
Right, they were behind, and I get that. So I don't know where it was his place to say, well, we didn't get there in time. Well, where were you? You were the head rules official. There was just six girls left on the golf course, and they were all on the 18th hole, so where were you?
Yeah, I tend to agree with that, but overall, I thought that last weekend was a tremendous success for the Nexus Club, for the LPGA, and for the women of golf.
I mean, there was more things happened last week in a four-day golf tournament than I can remember. Let's see, we had someone stripped down. We had a girl stripped down in the fairway to change clothes just because she got too hot. We had a wedding proposal on a green in the middle of play on Saturday. which I don't even know how that was allowed to happen, but again.
You didn't like it? Are you kidding?
I mean, okay.
Come on. Oh, my God, Bradley, you've lost all sense of enjoyment in life.
No, I mean, did we really need a wedding proposal? I mean,
absolutely. This is what makes
Did you see what he was wearing?
Of course I saw what.
Okay. Is it just not an attention whore being an attention whore? Because that's what it kind of seemed like to me.
No. He and Brittany, this started about a year and a half ago when Spani dressed in the same colors as Brittany did, and then Brittany had the lowest round she'd ever shot. I don't remember what tournament it was at, but she shot a 64. And so they decided at that point that he would always wear the same colors that Brittany wore.
Well, hers were now, quite a bit more understated than pants, hers.
Whether he should have been wearing pink pants, as I said on the national show, I sat in Monday for Brian Katrick, and we'll be sitting in this Thursday and Friday from the Players' Championship, as I've been invited to come and do some stuff with the commissioner. But he actually got permission from the LPGA. And, you know, I jokingly said, you know, his grandchildren's grandchildren will be dealing all the rest of their lives with the fact that their great-great-great-great-grandfather proposed to their great-great-great-great-grandmother in the weirdest shorts of all time.
Well, it's just, I mean, there's so many things wrong with the thing. I mean, first of all, he's a portly little fella. And I'm just, like you said, I'm not sure the pink and the white belt work for him, but this is just coming from the clothing guy. I don't know.
Wait. Yeah, you're being overly. I thought it was tremendously fun. I'm so glad the LPGA let him do it. I just think I thought it was terrific.
It just
You had a pie in the face on the Champions Tour. You had Horschel winning and breaking down on the PGA Tour. It was just a tremendous week for golf.
Yeah, I mean, we have a girl stripped down to her skivvies because she got hot in the middle of the fairway. I mean, when do you ever see that? And where were the cameras? I keep hearing about this, and she got all the way down to her sports bra. I mean, she's one of the most attractive ones out there. You want to get your TV ratings up, LPGA Tour? Show Sandra Gall changing shirts in the fairway. That'll get it done.
I didn't even hear about that one.
You didn't?
So you're telling me something new, and I was out there. So
no, Thursday, you know, it was real cold in the morning. They got really warm in the afternoon.
Right.
And she was like when she went out to warm up, I guess she was in long sleeves and like a little – and it was a pretty heavy long sleeve shirt, I guess. So she was out in the middle of 6 or 7, and the crowd got a big kick. There was people that were trying to get pictures of it. She just took her long sleeve shirt off right down to the sports bra in the middle of the fairway and put her short sleeve shirt on and just went on about her business.
Oh, that's great. You know, the sports bra is exactly like a bikini. It's fine.
The thing that
got me, Bradley, I got to be honest with you, was the music on the driving range. That was the shocker to me, was the fact that I have never in all of my years of going to tour events on any tour, have I ever heard music on the driving range as people were warming up. I thought that was very, very cool.
Well, it is it's great for the crowd. It was a little bit of a buzz for the crowd. It kind of helped with the crowd. But the girls, I mean, if you know, that was the one thing compared to a lot of some of the guys will warm up with earphones in, I think, to a female. And maybe it's because they have so much access. And maybe it's something we talk about later. The girls, you know, they walk through the crowd and they're great. I mean, they really are. Compared to the guys could learn a lot from the girls and the way they act
absolutely.
With the crowd.
Yep.
But every one of the girls have headphones in when they warm up, except for a couple of the Korean girls. MB Park didn't, but Ai Miyazato did. There were several of them, but almost to a person, almost to every girl out there had on headphones warming up. And I was kind of surprised at that because the guys don't do it. I personally do it. So, I mean, it's, you know, I listen to the most mellow music. I mean, I'll listen to classical piano music just to slow your heart rate down, just get everything slow and in rhythm. But I was surprised that almost every single girl does it compared to the guys that you might see two or three. I mean, you never see Tiger warm up in headphones. You never see – I mean, they're chit-chatting with their caddies, and the girls are just – but there's – you could also tell, having been, you know, there for every single day of the event, the girls have a much different relationship with their caddies than a lot of the guys do. So that's
absolutely.
That's part of it too.
All right, we're going to head on this show. We're going to be joined by John Drago from the HP Byron Nelson Championship. We're going to be joined by Michael Toth, Executive Director of the Colonial. And we're going to be joined by Rex Hoggart from the Golf Channel and, of course, Bradley Houck. I'm Stephen Gribben. Next up, we'll talk more about the leaderboards, update you on what's going on at the PGA Tour, on the LPGA Tour, and talk a little bit more about last weekend as we roll forward and try and figure out who will be the title sponsor next year so we can continue to have an LPGA event here in the Metroplex. I'm Stephen Gribben. This is the Golfer's Home, 1190 AM.
If you were to win $50,000, you could use it all to help your child go to a prestigious university where they'll earn a degree that'll lead to a six-figure income once they graduate. Or you could tell your kid to lump it and blow the money at the track. $50,000 is up for grabs. Want to win it? Then shut up, pay attention, and find out how. Be listening for the Cue to Text keyword. When you hear it, text that keyword to 36500 to get registered. You'll win $1,000 just for qualifying for the 50K. And who couldn't use an extra grand in their pocket? It's an ultimate iHeartRadio experience. Winning $50,000 to waste on whatever you want. It's like finding a lucky penny on the ground. A whole lot of lucky pennies. So get your texting thumb ready for action and keep it here for the keyword that could make you 50 grand happier. Good luck.
Goldsmith can't guarantee 50% fewer strokes your next time out, but at their anniversary event, you can save as much as 50% on the best gear in the game. With deals on tailor-made rocket balls, FootJoy shoes, Callaway balls, and plenty more, Golfsmith's anniversary event is your source for the latest gear at the guaranteed lowest price. Because saving par is the goal, but huge savings are guaranteed. Get to Golfsmith today and save up to 50% on your best game yet, because these deals won't last long.
Mother's Day is next week, and Pro Flowers is offering an amazing deal. One dozen assorted roses plus a free glass vase for just $19.99. Go to proflowers.com, click on the radio microphone in the upper right corner, and enter the secret code 1000. But hurry, this incredible deal expires this Friday. Flower prices will skyrocket next week. Order now from Pro Flowers to get huge savings. You pick the delivery date, and it's guaranteed. That's one dozen stunning assorted roses, absolutely bursting with color, sent fresh from the fields, and guaranteed to stay fresh and beautiful for at least 7 full days for only $19.99. Plus, a free glass vase with every order. Remember, flower prices can double, even triple next week, and this incredible deal expires this Friday. The only way to get this amazing deal is to visit proflowers.com. Click on the radio microphone in the upper right corner and enter the secret code 1000.
Many of us think we know where our families and ancestors originated, but with Ancestry DNA, the results might surprise you. Your DNA has a story, and it's time to discover it. With a simple DNA test from TryAncestry.com, you can discover your own unique genetic ethnicity that'll connect you to the lands your ancestors once called home. It's a breakthrough technology in family history and can be found at TryAncestry.com. The new Ancestry DNA creates the most comprehensive family history experience yet, and all with one simple, easy, and affordable test. You'll receive a full breakdown of your genetic ethnicity from both your maternal and paternal sides, and so much more. Visit TryAncestry.com to see how easy, affordable, and impressive this new DNA technology is. Your DNA has a story. Let Ancestry help you discover it. Experience the true power of Ancestry DNA. The results may surprise you. Visit TryAncestry.com. That's TryAncestry.com.
This is Pete the Fast Greek, host of Race Talk, the motorsports talk show, heard every Saturday live from high noon to 2 p.m. right here on 1190 AM. NASCAR, NHRA, the IndyCar Series, we talk about it all. Plus, we let you know where they're racing right here in the Metroplex. So join me, Pete the Fast Greek, for Race Talk, the motorsports talk show, live at high noon right here on 1190 AM. And streaming live at iHeartRadio.com, keyword 1190 AM, Dallas-Fort Worth. And remember, keep your racing on the track, not on the street.
It's the Golfer's Home, 1190 AM. Hey, Ben, am I streamed on iHeart? Is everything on the show streamed iHeart? So I can
that
be heard
correct.
All over the country now? That's cool.
Oh, Lord, we just got his ego going even more now.
Nick Watney, -8. Phil Mickelson, -8. They're both through 2, playing 3. Are they expecting big weather? Is that why they started so early, or
yep.
was it because of the
and
NBA,
off double
or what?
They're going threesomes off double tees, and they're not sure they'll even get finished. And if they don't get finished, they think that
no, they're playing twosomes. That I know.
They tweeted this morning they were threesomes.
I guess they are because
yeah, McNeil.
You may be
yeah,
right.
McNeil's playing with Watney and Mickelson.
That's right. You're right.
Yeah, they're
sorry.
Playing threesomes off of 2 tees because the weather. And if the weather gets there, if they don't beat the weather. There's a chance I'll just have to go back to 54 hole, or they'll have to do something because it's supposed to rain through Tuesday now.
Wow.
So, hey, you want to hear a fun stat?
Sure.
That just got tweeted by Jason Sobel and Mike Greenberg of ESPN Radio.
Can't wait.
9 golfers in their entire career, the lifespan of their entire career, 9 golfers have only 9 golfers have ever made more money over their entire career than Floyd Mayweather made last night in one fight.
Wow.
9. In their career. And guess what? Guess who's not one of them?
Did you watch the fight? Jack Nicholson. Jack Nicklaus.
Yeah, he's not one of them. That's insane, isn't it?
Yep.
Palmer and Nicklaus have not made more money playing golf in their career than Mayweather did in one fight. That is
well,
unbelievable.
That's
time,
money.
Too. Yeah, that's time. And I understand that's
right.
The time, too, but still.
And prize money.
Yeah, I mean, you think about that. I mean, holy cow.
Did you watch?
I've seen
I mean, it was so boring.
Yeah. I watched it via Twitter and ESPN. Twitter does everything you need to do. I mean, they tell you – I mean, you got guys that will go shot by shot. And after about the fourth round, I was going to walk downstairs. I mean, as you know, I live right above a drinking establishment that shows all the fights. So I could have walked downstairs and watched it. And by like the third or fourth round, I thought, what's the point? It sounds like it's going to be pretty boring. It was a lot of – according to Twitter, it was a lot of swing and miss, and he couldn't outspeed Mayweather, and it was going to just turn into another, you know, another one of those fights that was not fun for anyone.
It's a sport that's really gone disappeared completely. It really has, and they're in more need of something. I'm just not sure what.
Well, now
anyway,
the guy
Nick
who's
Watney,
supposed to fight in September, he's not going to fight because he broke his hand. So
right,
be another year.
Watney Mickelson -8. Rory McIlroy -6, as he is -1 through 5. Lee Westwood is also -6, as is Robert Carlson. On the LPGA, let me give you that leaderboard really quickly. On the LPGA.
While you do that, if you were standing on 16, where do you find that? On 16 or 17, would you want to, I mean, with Nick Watney and Phil Mickelson playing in the same group after 16 and 17 yesterday, Indian fans, would you want to be following that group? I mean, like within seconds of each other, we have a hosel rocket
exactly.
into the crowd, and then a what was Mickelson's 8-iron? How do you hit one 50 yards offline with an 8-iron?
I'm just not sure. So on the LPGA Tour, you've got probably just an incredible leaderboard. I mean, just incredible. As the cool part about this last weekend, Bradley, was the 49 of the top 50 players in the world were out here playing golf. In an event that, you know, they've been working on it for 2 years. They finally agreed on it in January, so they really only had 3 months to get this thing ready. But 49 of the top 50 players in the world showed up.
And they show up. When they have an event,
I don't
the
know
girls
if that's
show up.
I don't know if that's a testament to Angela Stanford, to Brittany Lang, for calling these people and saying, would you please come to Dallas so we can promote in our city and get this tournament off? I'm not sure why, but or if it just was so easy to fly here from Hawaii, which it is. But they all came. And now this week in Kings Mill, listen to this leaderboard if you like the LPGA at all. Christy Kerr is leading. Stacey Lewis is second, tied with Suzanne Pedersen. Angela Stanford, and then another couple shots back is Lizette Salas and Inbee Park. I mean, that is, and Sandra Gall is -3.
Stripper, yay.
That is as good a leaderboard as you can ever want to find anywhere in, you know, the top players in the world all at the top. It's just very cool to see, and I think that that's great for golf, and I think it's great for the LPGA. You know, it's going to come down to can they find a title sponsor for this event, and it'll be interesting to see if someone will step up.
Yeah, I think after seeing it, I know there was a lot of through the week, I got to meet several of the different – being right there with the club court folks by the locker room and then with a couple of the caddy parties. I've got to meet some corporate people, and I think that it sounded like there's some stuff in the works. Without naming any names, it sounded like there was some stuff in the works. And for anybody that was out there, I was surprised. I really was. You know, we were hearing numbers about how many tickets were sold for the four-day pass or the all-week pass, and then how many daily tickets. But, you know, Thursday morning, I think the LPGA did really well. At first, I thought, what are they doing with the pairings? When I saw the pairings for Thursday on Wednesday, I thought, what are they doing? Every single marquee player was in the morning on Thursday and then in the afternoon on Friday.
Of course.
And it turned out to be perfect for them. And I'm sure they did. I'm sitting there thinking, boy, if you were here Thursday afternoon, you didn't see one single person that you even knew their name. I mean, it was – you needed some help pronouncing every name in the afternoon. There was a couple of rookies that have some potential, I think. You know, there was a couple. But every marquee player – but it worked out great because of the weather – the weather was dicey on Thursday, and then Friday afternoon it was great. The weekend was great, and the crowds. I was surprised at how big the crowds were, and the whole concept of letting a girl, the little girl golfer under the age of 14 in for free or 15 in for free. There was tons and tons of little girls out there. I mean, on Sunday I think there was a group of about 20, all dressed in the Paula Creamer pink. So I think when you see that sort of stuff and you see how many parents brought their kids. As a corporate sponsor and thinking about it from that side of the business, there's got to be potential for one of those companies to look at that and go, hey, there's an opportunity here to really reach out and touch someone. And people forget, Dallas is the second largest metropolitan area when it comes to billionaires and third when it comes to millionaires. So it's not like we are, we are a captive audience and have a lot of money. So I think somebody will step up and at least keep it going for a couple more years.
Now, the other cool part that I like is and I don't know why I'm talking so much about not PGA Tour this week, but go there. The European Tour, if I was a player, I would love to play on the European Tour. I mean, one week you're in South Africa, the next week you're someplace else, this week they're in China. What a great, I mean, cannot be easy to get around to all of this stuff. A caddy's got to be crazy because they don't make a lot of money and they've got to get everywhere. But, I mean, the places that the European Tour goes is so cool. I mean, I just think – and in the LPGA is the same way. I mean, you take half of their tours outside of the continental United States. I would love to be a member of the European Tour and go to the places that they get to go to.
Well, like you said, the ladies too. I was giving Lexi Thompson a hard time, and we were sitting there chatting. I was giving her a hard time about having sunglasses on that I didn't even sell.
They were probably made in China.
No, they simmered down now. The sunglasses, they were Oakleys. They're just a color that we don't sell.
No, but what I'm saying is that maybe a distribution someplace else, like Nike's clubs.
All of our frames are made here. Simmer down now. It was just a color, and we do sell it, but you got to go through custom, and it takes like 90 days, and it was just a bunch of little girls came up on Friday asking for it. But anyway, I was giving Lexi a hard time. She kept yawning. I go, are you tired? She goes, yeah, just all the travel. I'm like, oh, it's a tough life. You go from Hawaii to Dallas to Kings Mill, one of the best golf courses in the country. Then you're going down to the Robert Trent Jones Dillon, Alabama, and then you're going to the Bahamas for 2 weeks. Give me a break.
Right.
I'll be tired.
Yeah, it's not.
And we know why she was tired. She was playing beer pong the night before at the caddy party.
Well, she wasn't drinking.
She was not, actually.
She was winning.
She was quite the fierce competitor.
She was winning.
She was winning.
She wasn't drinking. She was winning.
But her caddy was drinking. Her caddy was responsible for drinking her beverages.
So do you know at this point, what does a caddy make on the LPGA Tour and on the PGA Tour? I think on the PGA Tour, they make $750 a week.
And 5 to 7% of the winnings.
Correct. Unless you're under contract.
Unless you're one of the big dogs. And
then you have a contract.
Right.
It's $750 a week now. I mean, it's not many years ago it was $350 a week, folks. Now it's $750 a week. But you pay your own expenses out of that, correct?
I think the PGA Tour, most of the guys pay for their caddies.
Okay. And then what is it on the LPGA Tour? Do any of these guys make any money at all?
I think several of the big ones probably do. I think probably a couple of – just watching, by my estimation, there was probably only – and I may be wrong, but just looking at the way they interacted and communicated and just – I think there couldn't have been more than 25 of the 140 that teed off that had a regular caddy.
You really think it's that few? I'm not sure I agree with that. It seemed like most of these people have relationships with their caddies.
They sort of, but I also know a couple of caddies, because a buddy of mine called and was asking if a couple of guys could stay with me, and they just go around each week to the LPGA to some of the courses they know pretty well. They don't do it every week, and they pick up loops. And so, and there was three of those guys, and they all picked up loops with no problem. So I don't know exactly what the deal with the LPGA. I know like Lexi's caddy, he's a full-time guy.
Right.
Paula's caddy's full-time. Natalie went through an extensive interview process because I jokingly with everybody said I was going to apply to be her caddy in the off season. and so I know a couple of – I know some of the big ones have full-time caddies. You know, Yanni
so do you have any idea what the LPGA pays their caddies?
I have no idea because those girls don't make – I mean they make good money, don't get me wrong. But they don't make anything with the guys. I mean – the whole purse last week was not what the guy will win next week at the Players. I mean, the entire ladies' purse.
And it's interesting. I was on the third tee box, or the second. I don't remember which. And there was a delay, and so I was sitting there with Corda,
Jessica Corda,
right, who is just stunning, and a couple of the other girls, and we were talking, and I asked them because I was trying to decide where to do the show, and I said, are many of the girls staying at the Four Seasons? And Jessica Corda, who's one of the top players, I assume makes decent money, she was telling me, she goes, I don't know anybody that's staying at the Four Seasons. She says, we're sharing rooms at a hotel so I can do it for $50 a night.
At the La Quinta, that's like four or five of the girls were leaving the caddy party, and they were getting the limo over to La Quinta, or the town car,
right.
To La Quinta,
I mean,
on the corner.
And it's really, you know, this is not like the PGA Tour. Even the top players in the world, I mean, Jessica Corda is a top 10 player, and she's telling me how she's
sharing
a room.
She's not that good.
Oh, hold on. We're going to check it out during the break.
You do.
I'm going to check that out during the break, find out where she is on the money list, because she did win last year, remember?
Speaking of stunning, you were gone Thursday, Friday, right?
Right.
You were at the men's.
I was with my boys.
Okay. I was going to ask you, did you notice as the week went along how the girls' makeup situation ramped up each day for TV coverage?
Well, I have to publicly apologize because – you know, I made a big deal with you and a couple other people on the national show and other places about how I felt that, you know, in a very sexist way that, you know, we need more attractive girls and
hey,
stuff.
You're the one that told me to simmer down. I said there's a direct correlation. The highest rated nine holes of the entire season last year was the nine holes that Natalie Gulbis had the lead.
Okay, and my point is, in what came out of this for me, in watching this event and seeing all of the girls flat out, this is a very, very good-looking tour. It just turns out that the best player on the tour
isn't.
And the woman who's the rookie of the year in Salas, who's such a wonderful young lady.
Salas is going to be rookie of the year this year?
Pardon me?
Rookie of the year this year?
Last year, wasn't she?
No, that was the girl that was rookie of the year last year is maybe the most attractive one out there.
Who's that?
Kathleen Eakley, the girl.
Oh no! We'll get into that. All right, let's take a break. This is starting to go to the wrong place. No, I found the prettiest. She's from England and she's married actually to a sports anchor, television host.
Wow.
Amazing. But there are so many pretty women on the LPGA Tour. It is scary. All right. I'm going to check out. Jessica Corda is 12th on the money list right now. And she's made $223,000 in a quarter of the year. And she's staying
La Quinta
someplace with a roommate for $50 a night. Pretty interesting stuff. This is the Golfer's Home, 1190 AM.
Hi, I'm Jim LeCamp.
And I'm Pat Riddell, co-host of Money Sense at the Opening Bell.
Are you fed up with the endless, relentless arguments about bull market, bear market, trading range market, deflation, hyperinflation, and all the other chatter that leaves you on the sidelines, earning nothing, nada, zip?
Well, we have good news for you. There are opportunities in a highly uncertain environment like this if you know where to look. Let us help you. We'll show you how non-traditional investments can help you uncover uncommon returns.
Give us a call, 800-841-5388.
Or log on to money-sense.com.
Have a problem? Talk it out. May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and Contact Crisis Line, a free 24-hour crisis line, is here to help. put it in your phone, 972-233-2233. Or visit contactcrisisline.org to find out more.
If you want to work until you drop, reduce your standard of living in retirement, or lose more of your hard-earned money in the stock market, then just ignore me. But if you'd like to generate a steady, predictable income, I'm talking real wealth and financial security for as long as you live, then listen to this. A free report is now available that reveals the money-making secrets Wall Street and the banks don't want you to know. This report reveals how you can get guaranteed growth, safety, and wealth-building power without risking your hard-earned money in the Wall Street casino. How you can bypass banks and credit cards and become your own source of financing. And how to get the money you need when you need it, simply by asking for it. This is the best way to have a 100% secure retirement and know your money will last as long as you do. And it beats the pants off any IRA or 401k. To learn more about this method and to get your free special report, visit bankonyourself.com right now. That's bankonyourself.com. www.bankonyourself.com.
Would you like to know how to become three times less likely to experience a home burglary? Mike Melton, president of Security Alarm Now, is here to tell us about that.
Statistics show that you're three times less likely to have your home broken into when monitored by a home security system. Right now, we're offering listeners a complete ADT security system free of charge when they call
1-888-516-4541.
You only pay $99 for the installation, and the monitoring is only about a dollar a day.
That's really economical, especially when you're talking about the safety of your family. Are there any other offers for our listeners?
Yes, the next 20 people who call 1-888-516-4541 will receive a free upgraded 2A voice keypad, which in the event of an emergency allows you to talk to the ADT dispatcher through your keypad. It will also include a $100 Visa gift card.
Call 1-888-516-4541. That's 1-888-516-4541.
Where do you want to go to lunch?
I'm having a stroke.
Did you hear what I said?
I'm having a stroke.
Why aren't you answering me?
I'm having a stroke.
What's up with your face?
I'm having a stroke.
That's not normal. Is something wrong?
I'm having a stroke.
Are you having an allergic reaction?
I'm having a stroke.
When someone is having a stroke, they may not be able to say it with words, but their body language will tell you loud and clear.
I'm having a stroke.
You just need to know the sudden signs. Look for FAST, F-A-S-T. F, face drooping. A, arm weakness. Or S, speech difficulty. Then T, time. Time to call 911 immediately, because the sooner they get to the hospital, the sooner they'll get treatment. And that can make a remarkable difference in their recovery. Know the sudden signs. Face, arm, speech, time. Spot a stroke fast. Visit strokeassociation.org. Brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
Tune in every Saturday morning at 11 for On the Flip Side of Real Estate with Rob Barney and Tim Lansford. Real estate advice from A to Z. Find it, fund it, fix it, and flip it to the flip side of real estate. Saturday mornings at 11, right here on 1190 AM.
It's the Golfer's Home, 1190 AM. I'm Stephen Griffin. Sitting in with me this week, Mr. Bradley Auk. And we are talking Crowne Plaza Invitational at Colonial. We're heading that way. Couple weeks, 3 weeks away, 2.5 weeks away. And joining us, the tournament director, Mr. Michael Toth. Morning, Michael.
Morning, Steve. How are you?
I'm good. Couple things I wanted to ask you about. I wanted to talk about new things that are happening for 2013 that the fans might not know about. So can you kind of go through some of the things that you've changed for this week, for the tournament week?
Absolutely. We'll start on Tuesday. We have, thanks to the PGA Tour, they've earmarked 17 events, and we're one of them, where Estella's, a pharmaceutical company, is going to get involved with an executive women's day. So we've invited 300 executive women from Dallas-Fort Worth to join us, do a lunch, do a breakfast, behind-the-scenes tour, and then we're going to have a women's pavilion, talk about health and well-being on the golf course. And then all tournament week, you can visit the Cadillac Luxury Lounge, which is adjacent to the number 10 fairway on the left-hand side. Thanks to our friends at Cadillac, we get 200 cars for the players, so we're excited about that venue. And our friends at Grey Goose, We'll have the Grey Goose 19th hole on hole number 17. You absolutely want to stop by and see this venue. It is remarkable what they put into this.
Really?
How they execute it. Oh, my God, it's amazing.
Now, where will it be? Amazing. Where will it be? Is it behind the green, or can you actually see shots from this area?
It's the landing area at 17.
Wow.
So left-hand side of 17 fairway. We used to have the military chalet over there, and I'll get that here in a second. So that's where the Grey Goose 19th hole is going to be. And then shifting into military, we're going to have the military Saturday and Sunday up at the clubhouse by the pool.
Okay.
Overlooking the number one tee.
Right.
You've been in that venue. You know that venue. So they'll get to see every golfer tee off every day on Saturday and Sunday. And then we're going to give away two homes to families who have returned from, or soldiers who have returned from Afghanistan or Iraq that are in some dire need. And we're going to donate two homes on Saturday following the last group teeing off on Saturday. And then our friends at TX Whiskey, the new distillery in Fort Worth, we've got a venue for them, which is located in our Midway. So there's a lot of activity going on. And then our Bank of Texas Fan Fest is jam-packed with a lot of activities for all ages. So we're excited. You know, we had our last operations meeting yesterday, and we're all kind of looking at each other like, man, there's a lot of stuff going on. So there's something for everyone. So we're excited about it this year.
Yeah, I mean, it's really, over the last 5 years, things have really kind of changed into becoming way more than just a golf tournament and becoming an event in Fort Worth for an entire week. You guys have done a tremendous job at turning this into a really special event.
We joke in our office, we have players playing this event? There's golfers that actually come and do? What do you mean? I don't believe that. So, yeah, it's go time. You know, we're 2.5 weeks away. Field shaping up nicely. Sales are good. Volunteers are in place. Committees are checking all the boxes. So I feel good.
Talk a little bit about the field. Who's going to be out here? Anybody else you expect to possibly sign and join us as we head towards the final straw?
Yeah, we're excited. Obviously, we've got 10 returning champions. Corey Pavin, David Frost, of course, Zach Johnson. Tim Herron's going to be with us, Steve Flesh. So we've got 10 champions coming back. A nice international contingent of Australians and South Africans are going to join us. Charles Schwartzel's never played with us. He's going to be on the ground with us. Louis Oosthuizen's returning again. I mean, I think the stat is 7 PGA Tour winners this year will be with us in Fort Worth. You know, I've got my fingers crossed for Adam Scott. Our Masters champion, and let's see what happens. Let's get through Quail Hollow. Let's get through Players, and let's see what happens.
Can you do me a favor? Can you explain how the jacket came about? It's something I've always wondered about.
Oh gosh, you know, I know that it's obviously a large tradition of our event. It's our own plaid. We own that plaid, and
own the plaid.
We own that plaid, and we've gone over to Scotland and studied plaid and looked at plaid, and we have commissioned this as our plaid. And it's funny, TX Whiskey is going to give some gifts to all the players, and so Troy and Leo over there, they said, hey, can we get sort of five rolls or 5 yards of the plaid? I said, yeah, sure, no problem. And Dennis came in my office. He goes, are you nuts? That is about $1,300 worth of plaid. So not only is it ours, it's expensive too.
It's so weird you brought up the whiskey, because we were in the car the other day and talking about this whiskey and how it's kind of taken over and supposedly just a tremendously good whiskey.
I'm not, you know, I'm Canadian. I'm a beer drinker. All right. So we'll start there. But the whiskey, it's amazing. Troy Robertson and Leo Firestone, these guys have studied whiskey. And, you know, they didn't know each other before they started the company. And, they both knew each other. They both knew they were both in Fort Worth, but they didn't know each other.
Right.
So they got together, and Leo and Troy both took their knowledge that they'd both gained and said, okay, let's try this. Let's start it. And it's amazing. We had a sponsor venue, sponsor party over there a couple weeks ago, and it's smooth. These guys are passionate. They're a big part of our event this year, and they're right here in Fort Worth. That's kind of special.
That's awesome. Hey, Bradley, are you out there on the range all week long, or how does it work now for Oakley? I remember back in the day that the Oakley rep would be out on the range, and he'd have this bag, and players would come along and take five or six pairs. Is it still like that?
We actually are working with – I've been working with Michael and Grace on doing some stuff for their Crown Plaza VIP guests. And then as far as the range goes, that goes through our national tour rep. That'd be Al Jenk. And I don't think Al will be down for this event. I think he picks about 15 events a year. And I'm not sure he'll be at Colonial or Nelson. Zach will be there. We got one of our guys there. But Bubba, I don't believe, is committed. But Zach, I think, will be there as the defending champion. So we'll have one of our guys, maybe a couple of our guys there. But I don't think Al will be down for this event.
Interesting.
I've got in the back of my mind this huge Oakley Pavilion concept that I want to roll out to these guys. So
we do too.
Can we make it?
I talked to Al a little bit. He may or may not be on the ground, but I think there's an opportunity at 13 for Oakley to get involved. No question about it.
Yeah, we do two huge activations now, and I know as we're creating our golf division. I mean, we're in the process of creating our golf division, and our parent company has made it clear what their vision is for golf. So I think they're strategically picking a couple of three or four more to bring the rolling O-Labs to, and DFW being one of our three biggest target markets, it would not surprise me.
Steve, we're talking to Michael Toth, the tournament director at the Crown Plaza Invitational at Colonial.
Simmer down now.
I know. Did I ever what, Michael?
did you hear about the match John and I had last year where I had to wear an HP, a yellow, god-awful, ugly yellow HP Byron Nelson golf shirt at the PGA Tour meetings? Did he ever tell you that story?
Oh, you lost?
Yeah, I lost. I had him two down, and then he beat me one up at 18, and I had to wear to the spring meetings in San Antonio last year a yellow HP Byron Nelson golf shirt, and we had a lot of fun. It was fun.
That's hilarious.
I will get my redemption.
Hold on, I will tell you, if you want to get your redemption, one of the gentlemen that I think happens to be one of the best teachers in all of this country happens to now be at Colonial. In Brian Shorstein. He is a tremendously good teacher. And so maybe you need to step out to the range with Brian and before you get out there with Drago, and then, you know, just call a couple rules violations on Drago. That'll always help the deal.
He's on the PGA of America Rules Committee. I'm not sure I can get by with that.
All right. So anything else we need to – where can people get tickets and go through a little bit about the price list?
Yeah, I mean, we work really hard on our website, so crownplazainvitational.com. Wealth of information there, field tickets, but you can go to any of the area Tom Thumb stores and go right to the service desk. Or you go to our website, and on the homepage, you'll see a little ticket icon. Just click that. And really easy to download, $45 for the day. Monday, Tuesday is complimentary. We've got some upgraded tickets as well, but weather's going to be great. Golf course is spectacular. Field shaping up nicely, a lot of activities for the whole family, and of course it's Memorial Day weekend, so everybody's going to be at Colonial.
And I want to say to my listeners, if you've never come out to the Crown Plaza Invitational at Colonial, it is a great tournament to go to because everything is so close. You can walk across the golf course in about 15 minutes. It's so much fun to watch out there because you're just on top of the players, and it's a great venue to watch. I do need to ask as a final question, Michael, you know, quite seriously, whether or not you plan on having somebody get proposed to on one of the greens.
Really?
Did that happen this week?
At the LPGA event?
Brittany Lang got proposed to. On the ninth green, which was her final hole on Friday because she wasn't going to make the cut. And her fiance, who I've known for a long time, ran out, got permission from the LPGA, and ran out and proposed to her on the ninth green.
I'm sorry you missed the cut, but will you marry me?
Yeah, I think we'll leave that to the LPGA. I like it.
You're not going to have a player change shirts in the middle of the fairway down to her sports bra?
I don't think that would. That would be kind of interesting. When that request comes, I'll think of you guys. But, you know, Steve, to your point, if you've never been to Colonial, the parking is easy, TCU, Farrington Fields, 7 minutes in an air-conditioned coach. You come in through gate three. You know, it's sort of a walk-down history lane, Ben Hogan, the history bar event. You grab a beverage of your choice, fantastic food, and then you head right over to 13 and check that all out, and you're never going to want to leave.
Absolutely. Hey, one final question. In terms of that, I just lost the question. It was important. Gosh darn it.
Age.
I'm telling you, age, no question. Well, when I think of it, we'll ask you next week, because I did have an important question for you, and I can't remember what it was.
What do you guys think of, have you talked about the greens at Quail? What do you guys think there?
You know, I think, here's what I think, and I did Brian Katrick's show a couple times in the last week, and listen, here's the deal. If you walked out on those greens today, they are better than 85% of the greens all across America.
But no.
The two, I'm sorry, you're wrong. They are.
No.
I mean, I talked to the greens.
I would fire a superintendent over that.
No.
Yes.
Okay. I'm not getting into this.
You guys know the story there?
Of course. Go ahead. You tell the listeners.
Well, I think their intent is to shift green surfaces from bent to Bermuda.
Oh, yeah. It's being done on Monday. They're changing over to Champion.
And so essentially what they did is they hired a new superintendent that was an expert in Bermuda.
Right.
And I think he just failed to put a lot of attention into the bent grass greens. But, Steve, I agree with you. I think, you know, on TV it doesn't do it a lot of justice. But those green surfaces are fine. And I think Rod Pampling put it best. He says, I'll putt on any green for $6.7 million.
You know? Yeah. So, that's my point.
It is what it is, right?
Would it have become a bigger deal had Tiger not withdrawn? You don't know. But it's an interesting point. And
eight
the course is closing.
Like a week.
Right.
Not
and
just Tiger.
Yes, it's closing. And in 3 months, they'll reopen up. And this is all because, and this is one of the reasons that we talked about this on Monday. You know, it's like when Colonial was trying to get the Ryder Cup. You know, how much would the golf course change? And it's one of the reasons I raised the question of whether or not it's the right thing for the PGA Tour courses to have a major event at their venues, because I think it hurts the tour event. Now, other guys think it's fine and they think it promotes the golf course. And Quail Hollow is definitely a major championship kind of golf course. But had they not been running, had they not going to be having a PGA championship there, none of this ever would have happened. And that's why I think it's kind of unfair to the PGA Tour.
Yeah, it's hard. I mean, I think, you know, if we had the opportunity to host the Ryder Cup or the President's Cup at Colonial, absolutely 100% we would do it. But I don't know. I think it's a little different with a major. You know, the other thing, too, is that there's a lot of guys that withdrew. But then you look at the guys that got in on the back end. And again, I'll use Rod Pampling as an example. I mean, Rod's
right.
Tied for, you know, he's tied. He's inside the top 15 right now. He has a good round today. He can get into players. And then that potentially could get him into Colonial. So I think there's good storylines on both sides of it.
Where is Smith now? Did he fall apart? The guy who was the pro at Quail Hollow who got in on Monday?
Oh,
Nate Smith.
You know, I haven't followed it.
Yeah, he shot 77 yesterday. He shot 77 yesterday, so he's two over par. He shot 67 on day one to be near the lead, and then he shot 74, 77. But this is a young man who never would have gotten in had those cancellations not happened.
Oh,
all right.
Right. I mean, things happen for a reason. Guys, come see us.
Absolutely.
Okay?
Michael, we'll talk to you next week as we get closer and closer to the Crowne Plaza Invitational at Colonial. Hey, Bradley, it's... You got it. Take care.
Thanks, Michael.
I didn't even realize you were talking about a golf division. Like, I mean, I thought Oakley's was built on golf. Am I crazy about that?
Yes. Oakley is a surf and motorcycle company.
Wow.
Oakley, you know, Oakley didn't pay a golfer until about 5 years ago. Oakley never paid David Duvall to wear their stuff. He wore them because of his allergies. Oakley doesn't pay a lot of the players to wear the glasses, actually.
Okay. But
they just wear
so
it. They
how long has Oakley been around? I guess I just never realized it. I just thought it was always a golf glass sunglass.
1975.
And it's always been like a surfer kind of glass?
Based right there on the beach. And well, they do. The frog skin was the original, so the frog skin was it's kind of a surfer kind of thing. They did swimsuits and board shorts. They do a lot of surf equipment. And then MX goggles and snow. Our biggest thing, snow still.
Interesting. Those snow goggles, I love. All right, next up, we're going to talk to Rex Hoggard from the Golf Channel. I'm Stephen Gribben. This is The Golfer's Home, 1190 AM.
KFXR, Dallas, with all the top news and business stories of the day. It's all on 1190 AM.
NBC News Radio, I'm Peter Alexander at the White House. Israel has hit another target in Syria, attacking what it says was another arms shipment headed for Hezbollah in Lebanon. NBC's Richard Engel is in Turkey.
These attacks were far bigger in scale to any previous ones attributed to Israel. They could be felt all across Damascus and suggest that Israel may be prepared to take a far bigger military role in the war in Syria.
Firefighters in Southern California are optimistic about the weather today as they do battle with a stubborn wildfire in Ventura County. NBC's Eamon Mohideen says the humidity is high and the winds are now calm.
Erratic winds have been driving the fires the past few days, making their paths unpredictable, leaving local residents worried.
The California Highway Patrol investigating the death of five women who were killed when their limousine caught fire as it crossed the San Mateo Bridge. Four others in that limo were injured. This is NBC News Radio. A Florida teenager was bitten by a shark as he surfed off Melbourne Beach. NBC's Scott Walterman says you'd think he'd be pretty upset, but he's not.
It's the kind of thing many people really fear. In the ocean, off the beach, and attacked by a shark. But 16-year-old Michael Adler is taking it all in stride.
I felt like it's like head move, and I felt like a bunch of teeth in my foot, so I knew it was a shark, but I wasn't in that much pain at all, so like I thought it was like pretty cool that I just got bit by a shark.
According to his surgeon, there were 20 separate holes in his foot, and some of the punctures went all the way through to the ankle joint. Scott Walterman, NBC News Radio.
And Iron Man 3 looks like it's on its way to one of the best opening weekends of all time. The third movie in the series opened Friday with the eighth best first day ever. Industry watchers say they'd expect it could break $200 million. I'm Peter Alexander, NBC News Radio.
That's Jared.
Hello, this is your navigation system. Your destination, Jared, the Galleria of Jewelry, where you'll always find the perfect gift. Jared has an incredible selection of beautiful diamond fashion necklaces, earrings, rings, and bracelets from fabulous brands like Neil Lane Designs, Love's Embrace, Heart's Desire, and Levion Chocolate Diamonds. Prices starting at $89.99. You have arrived. Tell it, radio singers.
It can only be Jared.
At AdvanceAutoParts.com, you can find the part you need and get it delivered straight to your home from the comfort of home. Plus, when you order $75 or more from AdvanceAutoParts.com, your shipping is free. Imagine ordering from the comfort of your pajamas, a smoking jacket, a go commando, whatever. Spend $75 and the shipping's free. And so are you, man. AdvanceAutoParts.com. Service is our best part.
Advance Auto Parts.
See site for details.
When home builders are busy, so are automakers and their dealers.
There is almost a one-to-one correlation between housing starts and full-size pickup sales.
Doug Scott is the marketing manager for the Ford Motor Company's truck group.
So as the housing starts have recovered, we've seen that recovery in the full-size pickup business.
The recovery hit the accelerator in April. All three Detroit automakers saw double-digit percentage gains in pickup sales. To keep up with demand, Chrysler added a third shift to its Warren, Michigan truck plant in March, and later this year, Ford will add a third shift and 900 jobs to the Missouri factory that makes the F-150.
We're just thrilled to be able to add this additional shift to Kansas City and make sure that we've got enough F-150s out there.
And one Ford dealer tells the Wall Street Journal that his sales of the F-Series have shot up 74% in the past year because contractors are replacing old trucks and adding to their fleets. I'm Tracy Jahnke from the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Hey, what's up, guys? I'm Kip Moore. The T.J. Martell Foundation started as music industry charity, beginning with a father's promise to his son to raise $1 million for leukemia research before he died. Since then, over $250 million have been raised, leading to new discoveries and cures for leukemia, cancer, and AIDS. But these diseases are much bigger than the music industry. It affects all of us. No one is immune. Join me by making your promise and your contribution for a cure at www.tjmartell.org.
I'm Corey Mencken with the ASPCA, asking you to join our No Pet Store Puppies campaign and take our pledge not to buy anything at pet stores or on websites that sell puppies. Chances are that the cute puppy in the window or on the internet came from a puppy mill, a large-scale commercial breeding operation where dogs are housed in overcrowded, unsanitary conditions without adequate veterinary care, food, water, or socialization. Help the ASPCA end puppy mill cruelty by taking our pledge at nopetstorepuppies.com.
Discover card.
So that's it. I lost my job. My days of coaching football are over.
Well, that's tough, but you will bounce back. You've got our new IT card, so we'll lower your interest rate, lower your monthly payment, or find another way to help.
You'd do that for me?
Of course. You are a champion. Now, who are you?
A champion.
No, come on. Who are you?
A champion.
Who are you?
I'm a champion.
No, seriously, I need your name.
Oh, it's Steve.
At Discover, we treat you like you'd treat you. Job loss support. Get the new IT card at discover.com.
2 years ago, the people of BP made a commitment to the Gulf. I'm Fred Lamont, onshore site manager for BP. BP has paid over $23 billion in claims and cleanup costs. Today, the beaches and Gulf are open, and many areas are reporting their best tourism seasons in years. And BP is also committed to America. We support nearly 250,000 jobs and invest more here than anywhere else. We're working to fuel America for generations to come. Our commitment has never been stronger. Join the conversation on Facebook.com/BP America.
1190 AM, NBC News, and the best in specialty programming.
The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station or Clear Channel Communications.
Nine holes down and nine holes to play. It's the backside of the golfer's home. Here's your host, Stephen Gribben.
.906, the golfer's home. Heading off to the Players' Championship, where I will hook up with the writer extraordinaire, face extraordinaire, just extraordinaire of the Golf Channel, Mr. Rex Hoggard. Morning, Rexy.
Morning, Griff. How are you, dude?
I'm good. A couple of things. Number one, I said at the start of this show, as I'm sitting here watching your channel, how cool would it be? I mean, I understand the money's on the PGA Tour and the fame is on the PGA Tour, but how would you like to go from Spain to Denmark to China to South Africa? I mean, if I was a player, I would love to be on the European Tour.
That's a great point. You know, and then with the transition to the new qualifying system, you know, as we go to a split calendar schedule this year, and Q School will no longer get you to the PGA Tour, and, you know, there's a lot of things that go on with that. But it's amazing how many managers, at least, I've spoken to that have told me that I wouldn't be surprised if more young Americans coming out of college take that route for no other reason than, one, you get to play almost immediately. You go to their Q school and earn a European Tour card, and you're playing for quite a bit of money, and you're traveling the world. And the other is world ranking points. I mean, if you get inside the top 50, it doesn't matter
right. What
Q school you go to. So, I'm with you. If I was 21 years old and had the opportunity, I think I'd really consider it.
I mean, this is a beautiful golf course. This is not Mission Hills, right?
No, that's not Mission Hills. It's I'm going to mispronounce it. It's on a lake somewhere, and it's really a cool golf course, isn't it?
Oh, my God. I mean, it is really, really beautiful. Now, it's not a great field per se, but, I don't think it's easy to probably get from Europe over to China and to do that on a regular basis back and forth. But still, this is an amazingly great-looking golf course, and I don't know. Hey, let me ask you a question. I mean, on the PGA Tour, you've probably got, 10 to 12 to 15 guys who, for the most part, it's their full-time job being out on the tour most weeks. Is that about a fair number?
You mean players? Or
No, media.
Oh, yeah, that's probably fair. I mean, the golf writer corps has been dwindled in recent years, like a lot of sports writers. But, yeah, that sounds about right, 10, 15.
Okay, and the LPGA, when I was there this last weekend, I mean, there's literally nobody, is that right, that covers it on a weekly basis? Not even Golf Week or you guys have somebody out here weekly, right?
Well, no, I wouldn't say that. I'd say Beth Ann Baldry from Golf Week. I would say, I don't know that she's out every week, but I bet she does 15, maybe 20 events a year, most of them, the vast majority. Ron Syrak from Golf World, I would say the same thing. And then Randall
Right, now, Ron used to do a lot more. I think his job has changed somewhat. But Syrak
probably,
was definitely an LPGA guy.
Yeah, a little bit more on the tour. You're probably right on that. But I would say those are the three. And actually, Steve DiMeglio from USA Today does quite a bit of women's golf.
Really?
He does a very good job at it as well.
Okay, and then what is the European media tour like? It cannot be easy to get around, and it's got to be expensive for the magazines and the newspapers. Are there guys that go all these places?
Yeah, you'd be amazed. I mean, going to Abu Dhabi, that's kind of my only litmus test when it comes to a normal European tour event. Of course, it's
right.
The Open Championship every year, but that's a pretty full media room. Now, granted, you had Tiger, you had Rory, you had a lot of guys in Abu Dhabi the last 2-3 years. But no, there's a pretty regular group. You'd be surprised. I mean, the Irish newspapers, obviously, I bet you there's 6 guys alone from Ireland and Northern Ireland that just basically cover those guys. I'm talking about Rory and Graham, and then,
right.
Of course, the UK papers. It's a much more healthy press corps, yeah, by far.
Interesting. I want to talk about tomorrow, Hall of Fame. Your feelings about this group of people who are going in?
Well, Freddie, I mean, I haven't been to a Hall of Fame induction ceremony in a long time. I'm going tomorrow just because I want to hear Freddie. I mean, how cool is that going to be? I don't know if he's really going to blow your socks off, but I mean, I guess for guys of my age, I'm in my mid-40s, and growing up, I mean, I remember specifically sneaking out of my best friend's wedding and sneaking into the bar to watch the finish, you know, when he won the Masters and watching the ball hang up on the bank, and everybody wanted to be Freddie Couples when I was growing up. So I think that one will be really cool.
Interesting. Is there anybody that's not in that needs to be put in?
Oh, yeah. Sandy Lyle. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
David Graham. I mean, I can go through the list. I mean, it's a fun debate. You know, I mean, we get into this every year about
right.
What the criteria should be. I mean, here's the situation. This year, this was my first year. This was my first class voting, and I was
really?
Baffled. Yeah, and I was baffled by the fact that there was Freddie got in before Davis Love, and by that I
right.
mean nothing against Freddie. I just told you how much I'm looking forward to going. But if you just look at the base credentials and what the minimum criteria is, how do you vote Freddie in before Davis?
Exactly.
I mean, I don't get that.
And
you know, Larry Nelson took forever to get in. I don't understand that. If you look at what Sandy Lyle did to the game, I mean, it kind of blows me away sometimes the way our Hall of Fame is kind of touch and go with certain things.
It really is, and it's all, you know, I mean, that's the reason I really brought it up, and I know that you have some kind of relationship with Fred, but, you know, I think that the media raised a lot of valid questions as to whether somebody who's a one-time major champion should be in the Hall of Fame, and it's an interesting question, even though I do believe Freddie belongs in the Hall of Fame, just for growth of the game situation, if nothing else.
Well, some of the best discussions I've ever had in bars are over the Hall of Fame. I mean, if you just want to get someone fired up, just ask them, should Colin Montgomery be in the Hall of Fame? And I mean,
right.
And you'll talk for 2 hours, and whether if he should or shouldn't, I kind of agree that it should. I mean, if you look at his resume, but then I think the problem over the next few generations, the next few years, so to speak, maybe the next decade, is that Tiger sort of skewed everything. He was
right.
Winning majors at such an alarming clip
exactly.
that he almost going to have to grade on a scale over the next 10, 15 years, because if you don't, no one's going to get in the Hall of Fame.
So do you like the LPGA approach where, I mean, a person can get in when they're 30 just because they've done this and this and this and this, or do you think this is a better way to do it?
No, I like baseball's approach. And
okay.
I know there's a lot of politics involved, but I think they found a way to do away with the politics with the Veterans Committee, you know, and I'm kind of a baseball guy, so it's another, you know, you sit and you get into these debates about should Barry Bonds be in with the, you know,
right.
things hanging over his mind. But, no, I think they've got it right. And just like in our voting, there's going to be politics involved, and certain writers didn't like certain guys. But then you can fall back on the Veteran Committee. And, you know, if they feel like he's really deserving, that they're going to look beyond the politics and the personalities. And I think I like ours better than theirs. I mean, theirs seems very clinical, very points-driven. I don't even quite understand it, frankly.
Now, it is, you guys just vote. You get a piece of paper and you vote, right? It's not like the NFL where everybody sits in a room and one guy promotes this particular player and then they vote and they get the seven guys who are going to go in each year.
No, yeah, you get a piece of paper. Are you kidding me? If you put all of us in a room together, can you imagine that? That'd take forever, Griff.
That'd be awesome.
Me and Jeff Rude going toe-to-toe.
Exactly. But there is something kind of cool about a media guy getting up and promoting somebody to get them into the Hall of Fame. I think that's kind of a weird thing that the NFL does.
Yeah, let me read your resume for you, and we all know what it is, but let me read it for you.
Exactly. I'm not sure that that's the right way to do it. You're feeling, I've kind of been one of those people this last week. I mean, you know me pretty well. I'm not afraid to tell my feelings about stuff, but I seem to be somebody who, I don't know, I've been a kind of a PGA Tour apologist this week about the greens not going nearly as far off as some of the other people have in terms of saying, you know, it's greens. Who cares? Let's move on. They're all playing on the same surface.
Someone's going to be handed a check today, hopefully. I mean, hopefully today. Maybe
tomorrow, yeah, please God.
And it's going to be a good champion. It's very well likely it's going to be Rory or Phil or Lee Westwood, for Pete's sake, or Nick Watney. It's ridiculous. And I said it the other day on the Greg Goose show, and you know, I kind of knew where Tripp Eisenhower was coming as a former tour player, and I turned to him and I said, when they hand you your tour card, do they also give you a manual on how to complain about greens and golf course conditions?
Yeah, but those greens are, from an operator standpoint, those greens are bad enough to fire a superintendent over.
They're terrible. No, they're terrible. And the thing is I don't know that I want to be the tour apologist either on this. I think I'd rather be Johnny Harris's apologist and
right.
What he's done at Coral Hollow Club. And, you know, he doesn't do anything halfway. He's tried to create a little mini Augusta there, and he's really done it. And I think this was a very bad storm of things that happened, the fact that they're blowing up the greens tomorrow to start getting ready for the 2017 PGA. My understanding, the superintendent didn't know a lot about bent greens. They brought him in to sort of bring along the Bermuda greens, you know,
right,
for getting ready for 2017. And it looks like that maybe he made some bad mistakes. You're right, being an operator, that would be probably a fireable offense, would be my guess.
There are too many. My whole thing, the whole bringing in a new superintendent, we had this discussion on Monday. Bringing in a new superintendent, that's fine. I get all of that. But there are a plethora of consultants. And most of the time, your agronomic company that you get your chemicals from will help you set up a greens plan. So basically, from the time he's gotten the job till now, over a winter season, which is the easiest time to keep bent grass alive, it's pretty unforgivable. I mean, growing grass is growing grass, and bent grass over the winter shouldn't be that difficult, especially if you have a good agronomic plan in place.
Well, and it's cool and overcast this week. From what I've been
right.
told, that was kind of their saving grace. That, I mean, had it been warm and sunny, and the buds would have started coming through, it could have been much worse.
Right. That's what the players have said. They've gotten better each day, and there's no doubt the cool overcast has helped that. But still, they're pretty.
This is, however, guys, if we get back to the golf itself, I mean, when you say Nick Watney, Phil Mickelson, Rory McIlroy, Lee Westwood, Charles Howell.
Well, I think
that is one great leaderboard.
Yeah,
there's
and
only
bad conditions
one name
sometimes.
Missing from that leaderboard.
And sometimes conditions like that, the more difficult conditions, it's a little bit like a major on those greens. It's the guys that are really, I mean, it's the best players that have the most confidence that when they miss the 3-footer, they know, I mean, Phil said it, you're going to miss short putt. You're going to have a 30-footer bounce in that normally wouldn't bounce in off a bad spot, but you're going to miss a 3-footer, and you just got to treat them as the same and just move on to the next hole. And the better the player is, the better they can overcome those things mentally. And I think that's why the leaderboard is what it is. I mean, those guys are strong-willed. They got the best minds. That's why Phil wins 50. I mean, if he wins today, it's, I think, it's his 50th tour win. And there's a reason. I mean, the bad conditions probably favor the better players because mentally they can overcome it. If the guy's on the fence and he's 126 and it's in the shuffle and he's really needing to have a good week, and on Friday a couple of bad bounces don't go his way on those greens, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, it's the green's fault, and you start questioning yourself. And I think that's part of the good leaderboard is bad conditions always help better players.
I would agree with that. If you look at Phil and Rory's comments so far this week, they've had such a positive attitude, and I don't think you can
right.
downplay that. I mean, I think there's something to be said. Now, I will say this on Thursday. I don't know what the stats are through three rounds, but That golf course ranked 12th, or I'm sorry, 14th on tour last year in putting average with a 1.800 average. Now, on Thursday, it was 1.844. So it's not as
exactly.
though suddenly these guys are just whacking it around the green.
Well, and that's my point
is that the green is that every stat I read was exactly the same as it normally is.
And
so
to your
we
point
need to
about
stop the whining,
and to your point about Phil having the positive attitude. I mean, I'm no Phil Mickelson guy. I mean, I think we've established that. I mean, but I've liked his attitude this week. I mean, he said on Tuesday, give the golf course a break. They do great things. After every round, he's talked about they're not that bad. You can make putts. And until yesterday, I think it was on 12 or 13 when he missed the bogey putt. He was third. I think the golf NBC or whatever channel. I think it was NBC. It was maybe CBS I was watching. Whatever it was. They showed the set. That was his first miss of the week. And up to that point, he was 31 of 31 inside of 7 feet.
And there's some politics involved here. I mean, there's no guarantee that the Wells Fargo is going to stay at Quail Hollow.
Right.
And, you know, if you talk to Kim Huffman, the tournament director, which I have, they're going to have to rotate it out of there at least for 2 years, in 16 and 17, to prepare for the PGA in 17. There's a fear that the membership, that Johnny Harris, isn't going to want the tour back. So a lot of this week is maybe a little lobbying, trying to ease the blow. I mean, I don't think that anybody wants to beat Johnny up too much at this point.
But it raises the question, Rex, and I'm not sure if you and I talked about it on Monday when I sat in for Katrick or if it was somebody else. I'm not sure I like the PGA Tour giving, and it's not them, it's the golf course itself, but I'm not sure I like when the PGA takes over a PGA Tour event location, congressional, this. You know, I'm not sure it's the best thing for the tour itself to lose their golf course when you're trying to build brand and everything else. And I wondered your feeling about that. You and I did not have this discussion on Monday, right?
No, we didn't. But it's interesting because, I mean, it's going to happen periodically, not a lot. But, of course, Pebble is going to come up probably every decade when they have the Open. And they seem to have come up with a pretty good formula there.
Right.
Torrey Pines in 08 seemed to work out all right. This one's going to be interesting, you know, because, again, it's the transition. It basically makes the tour event go away for 2 or 3 years, whatever the case may be.
Right.
It's difficult from an agronomic standpoint and from a corporate standpoint.
And that's my point. I mean, there's nothing wrong with leaving congressional when you went to where you went, but still you're leaving congressional for a year or two, and I just think that takes away from the tour itself. God, I'm sounding more and more like a tour guy, lackey. Wow, something's wrong with me today.
Next week at Pot of Easter, there, Greg.
I actually am, but that's a different story. Wow. All right, so you're getting to the players when?
Well, I'm going to obviously the Hall of Fame tomorrow, and then I'll
right.
probably spend some time at Pot of Easter tomorrow. So it starts.
And
tomorrow.
Then how big? Come on, don't use that term, please. How big is this event for you?
No,
I mean, is it just another tour event, or is it something bigger than that?
I kid. I mean, it's not the fifth major. And then it was funny. Rory was asked about that last week, and I loved his response. He goes, why do we need five? Four is good.
Right. Well, I think even
it's funny. I'm actually going to write this tomorrow, and it's going to be kind of a point on our website. And you can make an argument that this is the hardest tournament to win, and I wouldn't disagree with that.
Absolutely. Biggest
field.
And different guys can win on this golf course every single year, depending upon different weather and everything else. But my feeling is, and I said this on Monday, was that I think the PGA Tour took a while to get it right. They tried to do this as the fifth major. They realized nobody was going to accept that, no matter how hard they tried. And they moved to the next step, which was the FedEx Cup and the playoff. And I think over the last 2-3 years that they've realized that they do have something in the FedEx Cup, right or wrong, and that they've even the tour has stopped trying to promote this as the fifth major.
Oh, I would agree with that. And again, I think there's improvements. I mean, I love the fact that we're going to have, you know, the debate this year about should the playoff be 3 holes. I mean, you wouldn't have that at any other event, but
absolutely.
Imagine how cool it would be to have a 3-hole playoff on Sunday afternoon.
And there's no question it should be a 3-hole playoff. No question. This
yeah.
is a golf course that's perfectly set up for that. And not just that, but to have a playoff on the particular hole they have it on a par 3, I just think is a huge mistake.
Well, I mean, it's unfair. I think Paul Gordos
right.
would probably got a little sideways with that a few years ago in the playoff. That's a tough place. One gust of wind shouldn't decide an entire tournament.
Correct. So, I mean, if there's ever a golf course that should have a three- or a four-hole playoff, this is it. And I think it would make it a whole lot more fun. So it will be interesting to see what happens with that. And then is Tim giving a state of the PGA at this event or not?
You can call him, Dan. I call it the second Vijay Singh press conference. But, yeah, I'm sure at some point he'll talk.
And I know you were expecting me to talk Vijay Singh, and I think you did such a tremendous job this week in stating the obvious. That that's why I didn't want to talk about it today, and I did want to talk about the Hall of Fame because, you know, listen, it happened, it's done, it's over, let's move on, and I, you know, we'll figure out what is real as we go closer towards the Olympics, because I don't think there's any question that's what this was all about.
It's always been about the Olympics, absolutely. I mean, and if you know, again, I kind of came in. We're both sound like tour apologists now. I came in on the side of the tour like this, but that doesn't mean that there's not a lot of concerns out there still.
Absolutely. He's Rex Hoggard from the Golf Channel. You can follow him on thegolfchannel.com or on Grey Goose or on Morning Drive or any place else on the Golf Channel. And I will see you Wednesday.
See you, Griff. Safe travels, bud.
You got it. I'll talk to you later. That's Rex Hoggard from the Golf Channel. Now, do you need to get, Bud, or what's the story with you, Bradley?
I do. I can call in and do the next segment from the car.
If you want to, that's great. I know we're going to be talking to John Drago in a few minutes.
Oh, no, then talk to Drago. He's all you need.
All right, so you go have fun at your birthday party, and we'll talk to you down the road. And don't forget, folks, I will be doing PGA Tour SiriusXM on Thursday and on Friday. From 8 to 10 here in this market, 9 to 11 East Coast, and way early on the West Coast. And that'll be live from the Players' Championship, as I got invited down there actually by the commish to do a couple things. So we're going to do that. And, Bradley, you have a great week, and go out and sell some sunglasses.
Oh, absolutely.
Next up, we will talk to John Drago and on the leaderboard at the Wells Fargo Championship. That's next, the Golfer's Home, 1190 AM.
If you were to win $50,000, you could use it all to help your child go to a prestigious university where they'll earn a degree that'll lead to a six-figure income once they graduate. Or you could tell your kid to lump it and blow the money at the track. $50,000 is up for grabs. Want to win it? Then shut up, pay attention, and find out how. Be listening for the Q to Text keyword. When you hear it, text that keyword to 36500 to get registered. You'll win $1,000 just for qualifying for the 50K. And who couldn't use an extra grand in their pocket? It's an ultimate iHeartRadio experience. Winning $50,000 to waste on whatever you want. It's like finding a lucky penny on the ground. A whole lot of lucky pennies. So get your texting thumb ready for action and keep it here for the keyword that could make you 50 grand happier. Good luck.
Jonathan's Place, the only licensed emergency shelter in Dallas County for children, will host its second annual A Chance to Soar Luncheon Tuesday, May 14th at the Brook Hollow Golf Club in Dallas. Find out more at jpkids.org.
Never play leapfrog with a unicorn. Never run with scissors unless you're a tardy barber. Never wear a fanny pack. No, really, don't ever wear a fanny pack. And never trust a car that hasn't been trusted to Midas. Save on brakes, maintenance, and total car care for a car you can depend on long after the warranty expires. You deserve the Midas touch. Get a comprehensive oil change, tire rotation, and visual brake check for $19.99. Up to 5 quarts conventional oil. Shop fees extra. Most vehicles at participating Midas.
Many of us think we know where our families and ancestors originated, but with Ancestry DNA, the results might surprise you. Your DNA has a story, and it's time to discover it. With a simple DNA test from Ancestry.com, you can discover your own unique genetic ethnicity that will connect you to the lands your ancestors once called home. It's a breakthrough technology in family history and can be found at TryAncestry.com. The new Ancestry DNA creates the most comprehensive family history experience yet, and all with one simple, easy, and affordable test. Plus, it's private, completely confidential, and only you can share the results. And right now, Ancestry DNA is $99, so
secure yours by visiting TryAncestry.com. Plus, while you're there, get mom a gift subscription to Ancestry.com or even her own Ancestry DNA test. It'll be a Mother's Day gift she'll never forget, the gift of family. Visit TryAncestry.com, TryAncestry.com. That's T-R-Y Ancestry.com.
Would you like to know how to become three times less likely to experience a home burglary? Mike Melton, president of Security Alarm Now, is here to tell us about that.
Statistics show that you're three times less likely to have your home broken into when monitored by a home security system. Right now, we're offering listeners a complete ADT security system free of charge when they call
1-888-520-9138.
You only pay $99 for the installation, and the monitoring is only about a dollar a day.
That's really economical, especially when you're talking about the safety of your family. Are there any other offers for our listeners?
Yes, the next 20 people who call 1-888-520-9138 will receive a free upgraded two-way voice keypad, which in the event of an emergency allows you to talk to the ADT dispatcher through your keypad. It will also include a $100 Visa gift card.
Call 1-888-520-9138. That's 1-888-520-9138.
This is Keith Wiegen, prostate cancer survivor.
And this is The Gang from One Life Radio.
Did you know one out of six men will be diagnosed with prostate cancer?
Let's work together to come up with a solution.
Support prostate cancer awareness. Visit me at Facebook, Skate for Prostate.
Remember, early detection is critical.
The Golfers Home, 1190 AM, and they are playing on Binhai Lake, which is near the Olympic Park in Beijing, so it's nowhere near Mission Hills, but this is one beautiful golf course, and it's pretty cool. Phil Mickelson, minus eight, he is even par through six holes. Nick Watney just made a bogey on number six, so he is back to minus seven. So you have three at minus seven. Rory McIlroy, who's minus two on the day. Lee Westwood, who's minus one on the day. Nick Watney, who's one over on the day. They are playing in threesomes. They started very early so that they could get beat the weather, hopefully, because if the weather when the weather gets there, it's going to be in North Carolina for a while. So we're hoping. The temperature is 53 degrees there right now. I've got to tell you, before I forget, and John Dragle's on the line. Johnny, welcome to the show. How are you, bud?
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Before I forget, I got to say, I've been in this town 12 years. And Thursday night, I'm out at Mayfest. And flat out, they announced on at the Ranger game that it was the third coldest start to a Ranger game in the history of the Rangers. Now, I was in the snow over New Year's, and it was 2 degrees where I was. But flat out, it was colder in Fort Worth on Thursday night than any place I've ever been in my life with the wind chill. It was unbelievably cold Thursday night. You just don't want that, hopefully, ever. When you live here, John.
No, you really don't. And what was crazy was we had an outing out here on Wednesday for some of our corporate sponsors, and I think it was 85 degrees and sunny.
Exactly.
It was crazy out here on Thursday.
It is. That's the hardest part to get used to living here, even 12 years later, that just how fast the weather can change in the Metroplex. The first round of golf I ever played here 12 years ago, the guy who brought me to Dallas, He took me out to the Four Seasons to play golf, and we're playing, and all of a sudden it starts hailing. And I jump in the cart, and I'm taking off, and he's screaming at me, "Where are you going? Where are you going?" And I said, "It's freaking hailing. We're going in." And he goes, "No, I need you to get under that tree right there, because 10 minutes from now it's going to be sunny again." And he was right.
He might have been right. I'm not sure I would have gone under that tree, but it definitely stayed this quick around here.
All right, so we are a couple weeks away from the start of the HP Byron Nelson Championship. Any good news you want to tell the listeners?
We are 1 week away from the start of a week from tomorrow.
Yeah, I count it differently. It's really hard when you work with the tours how to count days.
Yes. Our Monday Pro-Am will be a week from tomorrow, so we consider that tournament week and
gotcha.
We're geared up. For advanced week, we've got everybody out there today working hard to put the finishing touches on
and looking forward to having everybody out, looking for a good weather week for sure.
I wanted to ask you, and I meant to ask Michael this question when I had him on earlier, are there any Pro-Am availabilities left that the listeners might want to know about?
Absolutely. I appreciate you asking. We've got a couple of Monday Pro-Ams available left, I think one or two only. And then we've got some availability. We do something a little different here. We've got a Pro-Am actually a week from today on Sunday, the day before the tournament starts, with the Northern Texas Section Professionals. And it's one of our less expensive Pro-Ams, but a great way to play the golf course with a good professional, see it right there in tournament conditions right before tournament week starts. Rope lines are up, kind of get that excitement. So we've got some availability in that as well.
Now, I do want to say, John, I was out there a couple of weeks ago, and it looks like they are letting the rough grow. Is that my imagination or not?
Well, they're trying. I'd say that's probably the place where the golf course is in perfect shape right now, but the rough, I will admit, is a little bit low, to be honest, right now, especially compared to what we've had the last couple of years.
Wow.
And with what you were talking about when we started with the cold weather is really what's got it. They keep telling us what they need is some warm nights, and it will just pop. But right now, every time we kind of get going, we seem to get one of those cold snaps, and the Bermuda grass rough kind of stalls down a little bit. So right now, there's really not a lot of tall rough out there. The guys could shoot a really low number if we don't get some of that warm weather. But the greens are perfect. Fairways are perfect. All that's coming very nicely.
Yeah, the greens look fantastic. And I will say, I mean, the practice facility has never looked this good, I don't think.
Oh, no, it's in great shape. You know, it's one of the better practice facilities on tour, really, with just the size of the range of the tee itself.
Right.
I hear they're going to do some work on it after this year's tournament as well, so they're constantly working on that. But, yeah, the practice area is in good shape. Golf course is ready for them. It looks great out here.
Okay, I want to switch gears. As a rules official, I don't know if you had a chance to see what happened on Sunday at the LPGA event, and I wanted to get your feeling about it, where the group before the final group, a woman played a hole, played 18 all the way through, took a drop without a rules official around, played the hole, finished the hole, holed out, and then was instructed by a rules official to go back and play the hole again. And I wanted to get your feelings about that and just any thoughts you might have had, because I think a lot of my listeners, well, they have asked me during the week, you know, how did that come about? And is that legal to play a hole over again after you've holed out?
Yeah, I heard you and Bradley talking about it earlier. Unfortunately, I did not see it or really hadn't heard about it until you guys talked this morning on the radio. My guess is, from the way that you described it, what had happened was when she took her drop, she dropped it in the wrong place.
Absolutely.
And, you know, as the rule states, you know, playing from the wrong place is a two-stroke penalty.
Right.
And it gets a little bit interesting there, because it's a two-stroke penalty. You play your ball, hole it out, add two, and move on under most circumstances. If there's a serious breach of the rule, if you're playing from a really wrong place, or you've avoided a hazard that you shouldn't, or basically the committee decided it was a serious breach, then you do have the requirement that you need go back and play from the correct place. And
okay,
the time limit
so that
on that
is,
would it, be before you play from the next tee, or in the case of the last hole, you leave the putting surface. So having not seen it, not known how far the drop was, it's hard for me to say.
Well, but you made the point that I really wanted to understand, that the rules official does have the right to say, because she was still on the green, they did run out to her, she didn't go to the next hole because it was the 18th hole, that it is in the rules the right to replay, to redo what you've already completed. Because
That's
it
right. was a... Same thing as if you had played a wrong ball. You know,
right.
You play a wrong ball from your second shot on a par 5, play out the hole, and then get to the next tee. And as long as you don't play a shot from the next tee, you can go back and fix that mistake.
That's interesting. I did not know that. I thought once you hold out, the hole was over. So I learned something today. That's great to know.
I'm glad I could help.
No, I mean it. I love learning this stuff from you, because, I mean, I've never met anybody who gets it as well as you do, and I know there are others, too, who do. But in terms of explaining it to the listeners and to me, you do that as well as anybody. What's the strangest ruling you've ever come across, whether in the books or that you've seen?
Oh, my, That's a tough one there, because there's so many.
Well, give me one of your faves.
Normally, the hardest ones and the most difficult ones or the craziest ones involve, multiple rules within the same situation. You know, a person that's trying to hit it out of a hazard that leaves it in the hazard, and then now that location is down in the hazard, or they knock it out of bounds, and they've got, you know, as penalties start stacking up on top of each other, that's where it gets really
right.
complicated and difficult.
You know, it's interesting, and I wanted to ask you, actually, because I don't know if, I mean, I'm sure I would be thrown out, for starters, but whether the ball would have to be placed back. I was following a woman on Sunday who had a chance to win the golf tournament, and, you know, it's her, like her third event on the LPGA Tour, and she hit a ball out of bounds, and it was like 3 inches out of bounds. And I'm up there. Nobody else is around because everybody's back at the tee box. It took every piece of my willpower not to run up there and kick the ball the 3 inches back into bounds because I felt so bad for her. If somebody had seen me do that after the ball came to rest, would she have to play it from where it laid?
If you had purposely kicked it?
Yes.
No, the ball would have been out of bounds at that point.
That's what I mean. The ball would have been out of bounds.
From where it laid originally, that's correct.
Okay.
If a spectator does that, you know, a lot of times you'll see them bounce it off the spectators and the ball just plays as it lies. You know, that's the true definition of rub of a green.
Exactly.
But if a person swats at it or kicks it on purpose or does some sort of purpose thing to try to get it, then it's the official's responsibility to estimate where that ball would have landed.
Interesting. Okay, and that's what I figured, and along with being thrown out, that would have happened. And I mean, when you see a ball that close to an out-of-bounds stake – and somebody trying that hard to make a living on the LPGA Tour, you just want to help them any way you can. It's pretty interesting stuff. In terms of the majors, you know, when we went up a couple years back and we played up in Wisconsin, we all knew that there was going to be some issues because of the nature of the golf course itself. Are any of the majors this year or in the next couple of years that kind of a golf course where there's going to have to be some specific things stated?
I can't remember where the British Open is this year.
Muirfield.
But, nothing that I'm aware of there, and certainly nothing at Marion or Oakland Hills or Oak Hill, so I can't think of any kind of special situations that you'll run into this year.
Interesting. Talk about a little bit. Let's go. I want to go back to the HP Byron Nelson Championship. People can get tickets where?
The easiest way to get tickets, go to hpbnc.org, hpbnc.org, or they can call our office at 214-943-9700.
And then kind of go through the week for me. Events that take place, is Tuesday still the kids' day? And go through the events of the week that people might want to get involved with.
Yeah, starting Monday. Monday and Tuesday are complimentary admission. So we've got about 20 guys that will be playing and 20 professionals that will be playing with amateurs on Monday. Kind of a relaxed day, no admission, easy to see some of the guys playing their practice rounds in the pro-am. Tuesday is practice rounds for the players. Again, a relaxed, complimentary day. And then we've got our opening ceremony at 11 o'clock right there in front of Mr. Nelson's statue outside the sports club. And then we've got the youth clinic at 5 o'clock on the driving range. So, again, just a great time to kind of bring the family out if you can and see some of those more relaxed type environment things.
And who is hosting the youth clinic now?
Well, we've got Jamie Sedlowski is going to be there, and then a couple of tour players will be with him.
Okay. The other question I had was, and when is the announcement of the awards, the junior awards?
The Byron Nelson International Junior Golf Awards?
Yes.
Actually came out, my gosh, I don't have it in front of me. But that presentation will be Friday of tournament week. Friday.
That's
night.
What I meant, the presentation itself.
Yeah,
and
Friday
is that
night.
And is that held in a dinner, or is that done for the public, or how is that done?
That is held at a dinner. We bring them in. We treat them to kind of what a PGA Tour is like. We have them here for a few days, and then we have a hosted dinner with them, and Peggy Nelson makes the award presentation. I think you know that one of the four award winners this year is Yingling Wan from China, so he'll be with us, and obviously you probably saw that he's a sponsor.
That was going to be. I was getting there. I was saving that one for last.
Yeah. So I think that's always a special night for us.
Yeah, I mean, have ticket sales changed much since the announcement that he was given a sponsor's exemption?
They've changed a little bit. Hard to tell if it's because of that or just because, you know, we're getting close. Days away from tournament week. This is always a big time for us with ticket sales. I'd like to assume that a little bit of it's from that for sure. Definitely, I'm betting that Tracy's getting a lot more media attention and media sign-ups and that sort of thing right now.
Oh, absolutely. And I will say, I mean, I've watched the 14-year-old twice now, and I've never seen a 14-year-old quite like him. I mean, he prods along. He does his job. And this slow play stuff is the stupidest thing I've ever seen. I mean, yes, he is slow, but it's a methodical slow. It's not slow. And he may be the best putter I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, I've heard his short game is just phenomenal. You know, we've got a tradition here of hosting young players, helping them get their start, giving them that opportunity. You know, we did it with Tiger. We did it with Sergio. We did it with Justin Leonard. We obviously did it with Jordan Spieth recently. So it's something we take a lot of pride in here.
And I agree with that. I mean, people forget that Tiger was given a sponsor's exemption at 17 or 16. I don't remember.
We were debating that just the other day. He was definitely a teenager, and it was in 1996. So whatever his age is.
I could have sworn I was 17, but I could be wrong. But I mean, that was a really nice thing that the salesmanship club did, and you know, both for the club and for Tiger. And I agree with you. It's something you guys have always done that's been great. Is try and build awareness of the next players coming along.
That's right. You know, when I first started here, when we would go through our sponsor exemption choices, the last step in that process was to go out to Byron's ranch and run all those decisions by him, and he had the final say. And that was something that he always stressed was, "What are you doing for the young? What are you doing with regards to youth, and what type of players are you inviting?" So we kind of held that tradition on, and was something, like I said, we're very proud of.
Absolutely. The other exemptions this year went to?
Well, so far the only other exemption we've given out is Jordan Spieth. Kind of waiting to get through Quail Hollow today. We've got a kind of starting to narrow down our list, and we were, you know, basically watching to see if Jordan might top 10 and not need that exemption.
Right, that was going to be my question to you.
Given out.
Right.
But it looks like he's 31st now, so he probably won't get his back. So we'll make those decisions probably either tomorrow or Tuesday.
Okay, Jordan played very well Thursday, Friday, shot a 75 yesterday, did fall back. He's currently down two spots in 31st place. And if he did finish in top 10, then he would not need the sponsor's exemption. Is the same true for next week? Well, everybody next week, that's they're already, they can play should they choose to.
The short answer is yes, it's anybody in the top 10 that wouldn't already be in our field. It'd have to be an international player that's not a PGA Tour member at that point.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's just getting close. It's getting exciting. And so we went through Tuesday, and then Wednesday is the regular Pro-Am. And again, tickets are needed for that then, correct?
That's correct. Starting on Wednesday, you need tickets. The Pro-Am's going on Wednesday. And then starting Thursday, you know, we always like to say we've got something for everybody. So the great golf that we provide kicks off on Thursday. The kids zone area that you want to bring your family out to starts on Thursday. The HP Tech Lounge will be open, full of all their high-tech gear. And then the pavilion opens. The pavilion's actually open on Wednesday also. And then our pavilion entertainment after play starts on Thursday also.
And have you announced the bands yet?
I guess I could just announce it right here on your show.
I'd love that.
The bands on Thursday will be Sony LaRue. Friday night will be Kyle Park. And Saturday night will be a local band called Ice House.
Ice House.
A lot of fun to be had out here.
Cool. I love it. Hey, John, I thank you for taking so much time this morning with me. We'll talk to you next Sunday as we head towards tournament week. And congratulations on everything you do for the Metroplex. It's a phenomenal week of golf here in the Metroplex, thanks to you.
I appreciate that. And next time you talk to Michael, I know he talked to you about our match last year, but ask him how it turned out this year also.
Oh, so it's already happened this year?
Yeah, he brought.
He lost again.
He brought another. He wanted to play since he lost the singles match. He thought maybe we'd play with tournament chairman best ball event this year, and he had a similar result.
So is he going to have to wear your shirt again at a PGA Tour event?
We'll work something out. We didn't really get that down to that.
You're hilarious. All right, Drago, I'll talk to you during the week. Have a great week, bud.
Sounds great. Thanks again.
You're welcome. That's John Drago, the tournament director at the HP Byron Nelson Championship. He and Michael Toth have their own little thing going on the golf course. And that's the best place to have anything going is on the golf course. Next up, we'll talk a little bit more about what's going on. Is Phil Mickelson still leading? And as we move towards Ponte Vedra, Florida, we'll do that next here on the Golfer's Home, 1190 AM.
Hi, this is Bernadette, owner of Adrift Float Spa. Did you know that stress is one of the major contributors of high healthcare costs? As Arianna Huffington reported in a recent CNBC interview, stress is prevalent in corporate America and affects negatively our productivity as a nation. Corporate America needs to be paying attention to stress reduction. Floating or flotation therapy is learning and experiencing what it feels like to truly relax. What are the benefits of floating? Decreased stress, nervousness, and anxiety. Decreased muscular aches and pains, improved concentration, memory, and mental focus, increased energy and performance, enhanced quality of sleep, and a general overall sense of well-being. De-stress your employees. Call Adrift about our corporate packages at 214-363-5628. That's 214-363-5628, or visit us at AdriftFloatSpa.com.
Golfsmith can't guarantee 50% fewer strokes your next time out, but at their anniversary event, you can save as much as 50% on the best gear in the game. With deals on tailor-made rocket balls, FootJoy shoes, Callaway balls, and plenty more, Golfsmith's anniversary event is your source for the latest gear at the guaranteed lowest price. Because saving par is the goal, but huge savings are guaranteed. Get to Golfsmith today and save up to 50% on your best game yet, because these deals won't last long.
Do you need cash fast? Have you even considered one of those 2-week payday advance loans because you think there's no other option? Well, here's some good news. Western Sky Financial can lend you up to $10,000, even if your credit's not perfect, and the money can be in your bank account in hours. That's right. We can loan you up to $10,000 with just your signature and some simple paperwork. It's fast and easy, and there's no collateral required. Yes, the money's a little expensive, but it's a lot cheaper than a payday loan, and you can get enough cash to take care of some bills and have enough left to make a difference. And you can make monthly payments or repay at any time because there's never a charge for paying your loan back early. So if you need up to $10,000 by tomorrow, call Western Sky at 855-759-1224. That's 855-759-1224.
Subject to credit approval. Western Sky is owned by an individual member of the Cheyenne River Sioux Tribe and is a Native American business operating within the exterior boundaries of the Cheyenne River Sioux Reservation.
That's 855-759-1224.
If you want to work until you drop, reduce your standard of living in retirement or lose more of your hard-earned money in the stock market, then just ignore me. But if you'd like to generate a steady, predictable income, I'm talking real wealth and financial security for as long as you live, then listen to this. A free report is now available that reveals the money-making secrets Wall Street and the banks don't want you to know. This report reveals how you can get guaranteed growth, safety, and wealth-building power without risking your hard-earned money in the Wall Street casino. How you can bypass banks and credit cards and become your own source of financing. And how to get the money you need when you need it, simply by asking for it. This is the best way to have a 100% secure retirement and know your money will last as long as you do. And it beats the pants off any IRA or 401k. To learn more about this method and to get your free special report, visit bankonyourself.com right now. That's bankonyourself.com. www.bankonyourself.com.
Not buckling up? Guess what? You can face serious consequences for not wearing your seatbelt in both the front and back seat. If you're not wearing a safety belt, you will get a ticket. All unbuckled passengers will be cited individually. Brought to you by the Texas Department of Transportation.
This is Tom O'Brien. You can catch my program, The Tom O'Brien Show, live Monday through Friday from 3 to 4 p.m., where I'll break down the day's market action and take your calls and questions right here on KFXR 1190 AM.
It's the Golfer's Home, 1190 AM. Don't tell me about grooves anymore. Don't ever tell me about groups. The guy who's leading the European tour, I'm watching it here as we do this show. He's in the rough. He hits a flop shot past a pin in China and spins it back about 8 feet next to the hole. He'll have a two-footer for birdie on this hole. Just, it's amazing what these guys can do with a golf club. I don't care where you play on a tour. Phil Mickelson, even par. Through seven holes, is a leader by one. Not a lot of birdies being made at Quail Hollow. Actually, hardly any. The best round of the day is minus four, and that's by Kyle Stanley, who is through 15. He is up minus four. There is one player at three under par, two players. Luke List is also at minus three. And I'm just going down. Yeah, those are the three rounds of the day. Those three rounds. So not a lot of birdies. Mickelson minus eight. Roy McIlroy, David Lynn, Lee Westwood, Robert Carlson, and Nick Watney are all minus seven. Charles Howell through 13 is one of those guys at minus three for the day, minus six on the tournament. He is six under along with Brian Harman. Ryan Moore are at six, and then Kyle Stanley and Kevin Streelman, along with Derek Ernst, are at five under par. Pretty legitimate leader board. You got to be happy with that. At Kingsmill, Christy Kerr will tee off at 12:40 our time. She is currently minus 10. Stacey Lewis, Suzanne Pedersen are minus eight. Angela Stanford is minus seven. Enby Park, minus four. And Lizette Salas is minus five. That's your leaderboard on the LPGA Tour at the Kingsmill Classic. A really, really, as Rex Hoggart said, a terrific, terrific golf course. How about this one? I don't know if you watched the big break, but there was a guy named James Lepp who used a saucer. Chipping style. It's where you very short backswing and then you kind of push the ball. And he used it. And originally, the Canadian Tour had said that it was fine, it was legal. And then this week, it came out the RNA, USGA, and Golf Canada announced that he had breached Rule 14.1. That says, in part, the club cannot be pushed, spooned, or scraped. And there's no question he was scraping. I mean, they call it the saucer chip. It's a short backswing, and then you just kind of get the ball on the club and push it forward. And Lepp, who in 2005 became the first Canadian male to win a Division I NCAA championship at the University of Washington, invented the shot to combat struggles with tight lies around the greens. It's very much like the saucer pass in hockey where you get the puck short on the stick, going back, and then bring it forward, and you kind of lift it up and pass it to your partner or try to get it into the goal. And originally they said that it was fine. And there's even a video on it on the Golf Channel if you want to see what this stroke is like. His hands are about a foot apart on the golf club. And it's an interesting approach towards the concept of chipping, and it now has been deemed to be a breach of Rule 14.1. Again, are we making the game easier or harder? I'm not sure anymore. I just know that we need to keep making this game easier and easier if we want more and more people to play it. And I'm not sure that the RNA is always doing the best job at that. There's definitely no question they do the best job at keeping the game played by the rules, but I'm not sure that their concern is as much about the rules as it is about trying to make the game easier for people. One other point, I everybody talks about how far the ball is going and everything. I wanted to look it up. The tour average this year, the tour average in driving distance is 285 yards. That's the average. You have only five guys who are averaging over, I want to take that back. It may be more than five. I may be looking at this wrong. You actually have, eight guys who average over 300 yards off the tee. And that's it. Everybody's talking about how long the ball is, but the average is literally 285 yards. Now, here's the other one. You know what the tour average is on driving accuracy? The average. The best player on the tour is Ken Duke and Tim Clark. Ken Duke is almost 74% in the fairway. Timmy Clark is 73%. Do you know what the tour average is of hitting the fairway? 60%. And we get upset as average golfers when we don't hit the fairway? They're hitting it 60% of the time. Stop complaining and just go have fun playing golf. Don't forget Thursday, Friday, we'll be live on PGA Tour Radio Sirius XM, 8 to 10. Please have fun. Go out and play some golf. Have a good time. Or come out and see me at Mayfest. I'll be there the rest of the day. I'm Stephen Gribben. This is The Golfer's Home, 1190 AM. Bye-bye, everybody.
KFXR Dallas, with all the top news and business stories of the day. It's all on 1190 AM.
The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station or Clear Channel Communications.
The following is a paid advertisement by Purity Products. These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any diseases.
Hello and welcome to Healthline. I'm your host, Pat Campbell. We're sponsored by Purity Products, and we have got another fascinating show for you today. Dr. Neil Levin is going to be joining us in just a minute. He's here to discuss an ingredient called pycnogenol. Have you heard of it? It's been all over the news lately, just a huge buzz. Even the Dr. Oz show just did a big feature on how it can actually help you look. Check this out. 7 years younger. That's an attention getter if ever there was one. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. Now, many of you may not be familiar with pycnogenol, but as you're about to learn, with over 200 studies and multiple patents, it's one of the single best research, evidence-based nutritional ingredients in the world, with a long list of applications that will simply amaze you. Joint health, eye health, circulation, blood sugar, fighting wrinkles, plumping up the skin, weight loss, supporting focus and attention, even protecting your legs on transcontinental flights. Now, joining us to give us the full scoop on why pycnogenol is now the hottest ingredient on the planet is Dr. Neil Levin. Dr. Levin is a chiropractor, a nutritionist, a longtime advisor for Purity Products. He's also the co-author of the book, The Best Kept Secrets to Healthy Aging. Dr. Levin, welcome back to the show.
Thanks so much, Pat. It's great to be here with you today, and I am so excited because this incredible nutrient, this powerful antioxidant pycnogenol that we're going to be talking about today is finally getting the notoriety that it deserves. I mean, I've been talking about pycnogenol with my patients for years. It's incredible for healthy, comfortable joints, muscles, for blood vessels, for memory, for the brain, but wonderful for skin as well. And Dr. Oz just did a big TV show on just that. This is now the hottest nutrient out there. It's basically turning the skincare industry on its ear. And this is how it works. You take pycnogenol for 3 months, just the way I'm going to tell you today, and your skin is basically going to look 7 years younger. I mean, it's hard to believe, but that's exactly what they were talking about on the Dr. Oz show, Pat. 7 years younger. That's amazing.
That is amazing. Now, Dr. Levin, Purity is always on the cutting edge. It looks like they've done it again with this activated pycnogenol. Now, tell me about the product and why is this so darn hot?
Right. Well, this activated pycnogenol formula by Purity Products, what they did is they put together two all-star key ingredients. First, the pomegranate. Now, people know about pomegranate. Many of our listeners are probably going out and buying the juice. So many benefits for skin health, for inflammation, healthy inflammatory response in the body, for blood vessels. But we also added this pycnogenol. Now, pycnogenol is a nutrient they get from a special pine tree. It grows in France. Now, before I start to use a nutrient pad, I do a lot of research. Before I'm going to give it to my patients, I read the studies. I actually read them. And normally, when someone brings a nutrient to me, I'm disappointed at the level of research, at the studies. But with pycnogenol, it's the exact opposite. With over 300 scientific papers, with over 100 human studies on 8,000 patients, Pat, there's 8 U.S. patents on the benefits that